We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Kirk Henderson once again with another episode of Kirk Your Enthusiasm. I'm joined tonight by longtime friend of the show, friend of Mavs fans everywhere, the original child Mavericks reporter, Ben Collins of NBC News. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Kirk, I am blessed and honored to be here. That's how I am today.
I'm really glad you're back because it's my 25th episode. You are a multiple time guest. You are one of the few people who, along with me, were able to will Luka Doncic to the Mavericks 2-ish years ago. Sure. So it's about time that we reconvene and talk about things again, because finally, after this pandemic and pause in the season, it seems that the NBA is really going to restart. I don't know how to process this. There's so much information out there that I've almost become kind of like numb to what's happening. So you know, what in the heck is, like, what's going on? Like, what do you know to be the circumstance right now?
So it's going to happen at Disney World. It's not going to happen at like Space Mountain, but it's going to happen at Disney World. That does seem to be something that's ironclad at this point. So much so that people are already haggling over hotel rooms and hotels and which one is the best hotel and things like that.
We're going to circle back to that tonight.
We absolutely must. Yeah. Kirk, I think I told you before anybody knew that there is the idea that this might be there could be a World Cup stage format with 20 teams would include the Mavericks. The best news about all this stuff for us is that no matter what, the Dallas Mavericks are going to play basketball in the next month and a half. That's what we know. That is not true of all teams. That is definitely true of our team, so that we should be very grateful for that. The 20 team group stage format would be a lot like the World Cup, where there are tiers, and then within those tiers they bracket out a bunch of other teams within those groups. The Mavericks would be probably not in a great situation here. We would probably be at the very top of a third tier, which would make it so we play a lot of good teams in one tier. We would not be favored to make it past this group stage, but it is a possibility, and it certainly seems like it's picking up momentum. That's one option. Another option is just play a few games, bring all 30 teams back, have them play like 5 or 6 games, and then they go into the playoffs. Another option is just to play the playoffs, in which case we're in there too. And then there are other kind of wild scenarios where they have the teams 13 through 28 play a play-in tournament for the 7 and 8 seed. which, although it would screw the Mavericks, I think is not a terrible concept because I've always wanted this to happen. So I think that would be a kind of a cool solution too. I think so, what my guess as to what's going to happen is the first thing, group stage thing. I know it sort of deviates from what we know about basketball and how people make the playoffs traditionally, but it gets a lot of teams into one space. All the dead end teams don't play. And it protects the NBA's assets. Like Zion plays in this thing. The Spurs make the playoffs, basic things like that. So I know it's annoying, but hey, Kirk, what do you think? What's the best thing here? What should we be doing?
So the one that amuses me the most is, like, of the two options, like let's say that there's the regular playoff format. If we were to start the playoffs today, the Mavericks would be a 7th seed playing the number 2 Pistons. If they reseeded everything and did a straight 1 through 16 bracket, the Mavericks would also be playing the Clippers as they're both. Yeah. So like that horrifies me from either angle. I have kind of long publicly staked the opinion that playing the Clippers is the worst possible outcome for the Mavericks. The Mavericks don't learn anything. The Clippers are designed to beat the Lakers, and the Mavericks are essentially a B version of the Lakers at this point, if we're being honest. I don't mean to kill our chances. Yeah. It's just kind of the nature of things.
I think we had this conversation like January or something on this podcast. So I agree with you. If we play the Clippers, we are in deep trouble because Kawhi Leonard will between Kawhi and Paul George and Patrick Beverley, they're sort of designed to trap and frustrate Luka Doncic, and they have all season long. It's not one of those things that's hypothetical. Like, for example, like Drew Holiday is hypothetically good against Luka Doncic, but in real life he isn't. That's not the case. With the Clippers, they are very good, both hypothetically and in reality, at defending our schemes. So we are in tough shape if that's the case. But if there are play-in games, if there are other things, that should help the Mavericks a little bit more.
That's kind of where I am. So anything that gives Dallas an opportunity to move away from where they currently are is probably their best option. Even though I like the World Cup kind of grouping idea as a concept. I don't like it in practicality because it's a naked attempt to get Zion Williamson in the playoffs. And I'm sorry.
I think that's a huge part of it. Yep. That's definitely true.
And you know what? They're trying anything that involves 2020 teams seems to kind of thread the needle for the money making operations involved here because everyone's freaking out, reasonably so, about their long term, money change, like what this does to the cap, what this does to revenue, all the way across the board. So I completely get it from that point of view. I'm not really big picture. I'm not really thrilled about any of the options because the Mavericks are ahead of where, you know, pragmatists might have thought they would have been. Anybody that was super into them making the playoffs this year and being as good as they were in chunks were, you know, kind of the optimists. I don't want to say they were wrong because the tools were all there. It's just everything kind of came together in a way that we should be excited as fans. It was a really, really fun season. You know, it's crazy to me. I don't know if I've talked with you about this stat or not, but did you know that the Mavericks only have one lineup, a 5-man lineup that has over 200 minutes playing together? Like that's just it's how injury ravaged they were. So it's like where they are right now. I should probably be a little more, you know, excited about things long-term. It's so just, you know, them getting the playoffs is in doing this is going to be interesting. I have some questions about, you know, at least what your response and kind of understanding is about some specifics with restarting the Mavericks, but we'll get to that in a second. Is there any one format which you think actually helps them? Because I'm kind of at the point where I think they're kind of, you know, they just need to get on the floor, really.
Yeah, totally. The best format would be something where everybody comes back, they play five or six games, they find a way to get up to the 5 seed ahead of the Thunder or something. And then they play from there because they can absolutely beat the Nuggets or the Jazz definitely with Bogdanovich out for the rest of the year. We are better than those teams and the Thunder. We're better than all of those teams, I think, on paper. And we play the Nuggets very well. So that's the best case scenario. I don't think that's going to happen because logistics of getting 30 teams there for where, you know, 14 of them just go away after 3 weeks. I don't think that's really sustainable. So look, I hope that that's what happens. I don't think it's going to take place, but I do think that this team is in a better place than a lot of other teams that have taken time off. And I think that that's a really positive thing. I think there are other teams that didn't need a break like this. Luka Doncic needed a break. You know, KP could use some time off. There are a lot of these teams that were rolling. The Bucks were rolling. The Lakers are rolling a little bit. They I meant something quickly. The Bucks lost the last three games they played, but before that, they were rolling.
Right.
So, I think, you know, the high tier teams are probably the most nervous ones because they have to go into this. Currently, we don't even know what's going to happen. They have to go into this uncertain thing. Might be a group stage. Might be a quicker playoff. There might be five game series in the first round. And they have to immediately be good again. And I don't know if that's possible. Some teams will just get better over time. Like Zion's completely healthy. Dame Lillard might be better. They have Yusuf Nurkic on that Portland team. So, and they weren't even supposed to make the playoffs, and they might be reinvigorated. So it's going to be a complicated time until we figure out exactly what's going on.
I think, you know, it's going to get lost in this. And I honestly, I'd kind of forgotten about it. You know, just the way the season wound down and the fact that, you know, my wife pointed out that it's for her and I and our family, this is the 75th day in a row we've been home. And like that, like when you think of it in context of number of days, and Rick Carlisle actually said this in the Hoops Adjacent podcast last week, this break that they have been on is nearly as long as kind of the end of season, like from the championship to when training camp starts for these guys. It's almost that lengthy of a break. And you know, it's going to be another month, I think, before they really get things going. You know, the Mavericks are opening up their practice facility tomorrow, which is something. But the health of the Mavericks, they were really shook. We don't really want to talk about it because you can't – every team has injuries. But, like, Luka's hand was a disaster. His ankle was not good. And the break, if there was going to be one like this, it's really going to serve to benefit him. And in terms of a limited format, I can think of few players in the NBA that I would actually want over Luka, just because he's kind of that ultimate big game player. He has that history from overseas. He's a guy that I'm really looking forward to seeing in the playoffs. But this isn't even like normal playoffs, because the playoffs are a long, dragged out series. If there's anything funky like group play, like, I don't see the Mavericks, like, losing. Everyone's really excited for somebody like Dame Whiny Man Lillard to be in, you know, one of these one-game eliminations. But it's a very similar thing with Luka, where I would like to see what he can do. In a seven-game series, yes, of course, I'm going to choose, like, somebody like LeBron, you know, somebody like Jokic, who's done it. But in a single game right now, Luka's one of the most dangerous guys in the league.
Yeah, I think that teams that rely heavily on schemes, don't rely heavily on massive runs. Like, for example, the Lakers and Bucks do substantially. It will really help them. The Mavericks are better on the road than at home. So if there's some sort of home court advantage for them, if they rely on the energy of an arena, I haven't seen it yet. It doesn't really exist for them. It's a really good environment for them to be in a bubble with either no crowd noise or like a DJ playing in the background or something. So whatever solution they have really does benefit this specific team. It's a team that calls a lot of plays, like works through the flow of their offense, and is better when they're unperturbed by other teams going on massive runs. We've lost huge leads because of loud crowd noise, or like two or three times this year. That's really not going to happen in this environment. So I agree with you. I think in the group stage, they're in very good shape. It really depends on how they're grouped up. And they could, and they've always played these very good teams very well. They played the Lakers really well. They played the Bucks really well. They beat the Bucks. Other than the Clippers, I don't really see a problem for the Mavericks. And if the Clippers don't make it out of their group stage by some miracle or something, like, we have a real shot at going pretty deep here, maybe the Western Conference Finals.
And I do think it really, you know, this stuff gets decided. I don't know. I shouldn't be discussing conspiracy related things with the guy who literally has to deal with conspiracy theory crap for a living. But I sort of feel like when it comes to this sports business stuff, a lot of these things get decided. And then, because the NBA is really good at public relations, they inch information out. So I feel like this group stage thing is done. and they're, you know, setting the table and getting people used to it instead of just announcing it. And I with that in mind, I'm kind of okay with it. But is there anything, and we'll talk about this some more, I think, as we actually get confirmed, but with that format, or really with what's going on with you know, the pandemic and everything else, are you concerned about anything with the Mavericks? Like, what is kind of hovering, you know, in the background that, that you've been thinking about during the long layoff?
Luka's weight. I don't mean to be cruel or mean. I just, you know, the guy loves a donut or like a cheeseburger or whatever. And, it's hard to, trust me, man. I've done with yoga for the rest of my life. Like, I cannot, I can do a headstand now, and I don't even want to, but I am thoroughly bored by working out. I can't imagine what it's like if you are Luka Doncic, you know, hanging out in Spain with your friends or your, you know, your girlfriend or whatever, and your dog. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine what's going on there. Or Slovenia, do you even know where he is? I don't even know
where
he is.
I think he might be in Slovenia. The funny part about that is, and that was kind of, that actually allows a pivot to my next question, but he's really stopped posting on social media. He was a fairly regular something, and really his girlfriend is the only one who's been posting anything of their dogs. He's more or less stopped since he posted that plane photo. Because as you know, Woj just threw that little bomb into one of his posts maybe 10 days ago about how the NBA was not happy that he left, which I mean, I found to be asinine. He's 20 something, he's healthy. Dallas County has not handled everything as good as you would have liked, you know, even given, you know, compared to Texas, they've done okay, but. You know, if you have the opportunity to get out and go home, why would you not? So, like, I was fine with that. But,
yeah, especially at that time where everything's up in the air. I blaming the kid for that is insane. I don't like that at all. I actually didn't hear that, and now I'm, mm-hmm. like, a little upset, Kirk.
it was thrown into a Woj article. Just Luka. Like, NBA stars like Luka Doncic. It just killed me. I'll have to send it to you after this. It was one of those things that got snuck in where – I don't remember who said this to me, but someone said it reminded them of like the early days of Woj reporting on LeBron, where he was just like always constantly writing nasty things. It just really made me laugh. But there's, you know, that's kind of where we are with this. It's a little bit of an odd situation. The Mavericks, so this is not a political podcast, but we do have to discuss some political things. So in the last couple of days, the Trump administration and the Department of Homeland Security have basically designated professional athletes as essential personnel, which I find hilarious and insulting, but it is what it is. We're not here to talk about that. Acting Director Wolf basically put out a statement 5 days ago, and it said, you know, athletes returning to the United States. I'm dumbing this down. I could be getting this wrong. So please correct me if you know any of the specifics, but I believe he basically gave professional athletes a form that serves as a line jump that allows them to get back into the country quicker than possible. They would still have to quarantine for 2 weeks, or it's recommended self-quarantine, but you know, the Mavericks would make Luka do that. The Mavericks getting KP and Luka back into the country is one of the things that we have not seen talked about. Because, you know, the Mavericks haven't wanted to acknowledge that he's gone, but it does pose a specific challenge for them. Or am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. And same thing with a lot of Raptors players. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Like, Kyle Lowry just decided to stay in Philly and, like, get out of Dodge just so he didn't have to quarantine. Mm-hmm. They were at, a distinct disadvantage. I do wonder about that because if I was them now, like, as much as I just said, leave him alone and everything, if I was Luka and KP now, knowing that training camp might be about to start in a couple of weeks, I would just try to come back at this point. I think it's probably time to start getting the private jets moving towards America.
That's why, not to be conspiratorial, but that's what makes me think that this has been in action for at least a week to 10 days, because I wouldn't be shocked if we see Luka in the country next week. Was the sort of thing that they've already been put in motion, and you know, if they wanted to go home, the Mavericks weren't going to stop either one of them for long-term, you know, irritability reasons. But it's still, it's just an interesting thing because they get here and then they have to either quarantine or they have to, quote, quarantine and not make sure that they get caught, you know? It's a very, like, just dicey, like, public relations issue for both the Mavericks and then, you know, just to get the team back together because those are the two best players in the team. It's just kind of one of those odd things I never thought we – like, quarantine is one thing, you know, pandemic is another, but then, like, figuring out how to get around quarantine during a pandemic, it's just like, this is not a discussion I thought I'd be having.
No, it is. It's going to be like a bit of a spy movie. And the fact that we haven't seen him is also telling. This discussion has made me a little bit more worried about our chances considering the circumstances. Like if he comes back and he's in even okay shape, and then he has to quarantine for 2 weeks and he's touching a basketball, but only by himself. And then he doesn't get back into contact until, midway through whatever training camp they have.
Right.
That's going to be an issue. Like that's going to be a pain in the ass for the Mavericks in terms of advancing the playoffs. But the truth is, look, the kid needs to be comfortable. Our chances of like winning a championship this year are negligible. We talked about this previously a couple months ago. The number one priority for this team moving forward is keeping Luka happy, keeping KP happy. So if he wanted to go home, you go home and you yell at the league for castigating him because you have to make sure he remains a Dallas Maverick for his career. And the best way to do that is to appease him at a really precarious moment like this. So look, it's going to be a tricky time getting him back and then making sure he's in shape, making sure after quarantine, he can practice for the team. He is the team basically, or he's our entire offense. So, that's going to be the issue. But again, I would say like right now, I'm sure there's some conversation between, Donnie and Mark and the league office trying to get him back into America.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is purely selfish, but like, in terms of figuring out how to cover all this, it's been very weird. I wouldn't say I've tuned out of the NBA, but just due to life circumstance and such, I was trying to touch base with Josh on here. I transitioned into this kind of editor in chief role over the last several weeks and
congratulations.
It's just hard. Thank you. It's just hard to know what to expect because, our staff and then by extension, our fandom, I'm sure you have people that kind of fall into two camps, like people who are like itching for basketball to be back. And then people who are so overwhelmed by what's happening in their lives day to day, that basketball is not even a consideration. And so it's just so odd. Like I was pretty sure they're going to cancel the season. And judging by what's happened over the last probably 72 to 96 hours, I've really, I've obviously, swung it around, but I personally can't believe they're going to do this because the more we hear about this bubble plan, and I kind of wanted to talk about Disney World, I want to talk about the NBA at large just because I wanted to talk about this with somebody. This is insane.
No, it's completely nuts. And I really, the more I think about it, the people who say like there's going to be an asterisk about this, I'm like, yeah, the asterisk is going to denote that some team out of this alive. Like, I mean that figuratively, but if, say, LeBron takes over and just takes over the entire playoffs, like that's the only thing I can think of that would put him in the GOAT conversation for me.
Yes.
Because it is an incredibly hard thing to do this, to be in basically isolation in a place that you don't live during a time where everything's precarious. You have no idea if next year the players around you are going to be paid the same or if the league is going to survive this. And they're obviously going to survive this, but in the same way that it was pre-pandemic. And you have to drown out all this stuff while you're in a bubble and in Florida in the summer. Like, this is really hard. So I hope people, when this comes back, don't downplay this and how the players are dealing with this and poo-poo, like, because eventually some of them are going to complain about hotels. We were talking about that. And some of them are going to complain about the conditions there when, they're staying like a five-star hotel or something. It's going to happen. I hope they realize that this is not easy. This is, these are some of the first people back to work like full bore other than essential workers in this country. I hope people appreciate this.
And you plan as an employee doing whatever job you do, you plan on how to handle your job a certain way. So what if you're told as a, okay, an NBC investigative journalist. What if you're told that you have to investigate, but you are all the tools, all the things that you use on a daily basis are taken away from you? How do you do your job? It's not that dissimilar from what's happening with these basketball things, because I do want to talk about the ridiculousness of some of the things coming out with like the player discussions. But, you know, these guys train for years. They get used to their routines, and essentially we're uprooting them and saying, go play in a format and situation that is completely different than what we prepared you for. And that can't be understated.
Yeah, and by the way, you're the only thing on TV. Just FYI. Mm. Like, you are going to be under the most specific microscope of your life. Even you think you're under a microscope right now, like, just wait for this. You are going to be the most watched thing on television.
I mean, so, I heard the like the Jordan documentary and then that golf match the other day were drawing like numbers that they've not seen for this sort of sporting event in like decades. Like, for just one-off things, yeah, it's been decades since they've seen this type of coverage. Like, America is going to hear about Luka Doncic. Like, that's a thing that is happening. It's going to be very peculiar. Now, I do want to pivot to some of the silly stuff because this just kills me. So today, as one of the things I don't understand about professional sports bargaining, really with really it's the agents, is in the middle of a pandemic, when you are renegotiating your CBA to make sure that you can get paid and play basketball and do these sorts of things, what and why are any of these agents leaking out some of these details? Do you know which details I'm talking about? I'm specifically thinking about, first, that they want their families there, and then second, yep, that they're concerned about the accommodations at Disney World.
Yeah, the Disney World thing, I was so worried about what that was going to look like because of how like frivolous that looks to the outside. I think you can understand like the family thing, but they also understand that, like, what is a family in this situation? Like, how does that get dictated? Of course, you want to see your kids and your wife, but is it like, you know, 40 extra people? We don't know. Doesn't that make it harder to even have a bubble? They said people can leave the bubble, all this stuff. I also agree with you. I don't, even if I was an agent and I was negotiating this stuff, this is not stuff I would leak. That's not the thing that I would talk about. I would talk about, you know, living conditions. Like, if you're talking about leaving the bubble, that's something you have to talk about generally. But the, you know, the appearance of, like, I can't believe we have to stay at Thunder Mountain or whatever. That's not great. But I am now looking at a list of all the resorts. And they say, you know, there are enough for each team, but some of them are listed as value or moderate resorts.
Let me tell you, my man.
What they're worried about.
Let me tell you. I went to Disney World last year. I got a bonus for the first time in my life. I spent more money on one vacation than I've ever spent on anything. There's a reason that Disney is one of the more profitable companies on planet Earth.
Too. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And really, Disney World is its own country. They have their own, like, they don't pay attention to some of Florida's regulations and laws. That place is, there's no better place in the world to do this for this many players. Number one, the customer service is outstanding. Number two, the accommodations are great. You know, Wilderness Lodge sounds stupid, but it's a $500 a night hotel room. That's not any different than what you're paying at you know, the Ritz-Carlton and some of these places where people currently stay. I'm like obviously I'm a little annoyed for like practical reasons. Like, I don't know what the current unemployment rate is in this country, but it's high. So hearing people like complain about getting to pay, like, it's coming from the agents. It's not coming from the players. Again, we you know, I'm not saying shut up and dribble or anything like that, but this is just, some of this whining is just, it's just so ill-timed. Like, what are we doing?
I think it's premature. Yeah, that's what it's premature. We don't know what it actually looks like yet. So it comes out looking half-baked. But that's the thing is, if they're putting the Grizzlies in a Marriott and they're putting the Lakers in, I'm looking at someone, the Villas at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, then I think they've got a point. Like, but we have to see what this actually looks like. But,
yes,
but the point you just made before that is really important. There is no better place than this. Disney is quite literally a city state that operates kind of separate of the law. But the good news is all of their employees are almost like maniacally happy and helpful people. So they are, like you said, they are built for this moment. They're built to bring in like basically the world's most expensive college campus for the next 3 months.
I require video of NBA players being bussed in on the big Disney buses that they take you from Orlando to Disney World, where you get out of the hotel or get to the hotel and there's dozens of unbelievably gleeful employees that are just there to ask you how you're doing, to get you checked in, to give you the ears. Like I require it. It is the social content that I need. Now,
LeBron and Pluto taking the monorail to game 7. I think that's exactly what we
need. Yes. Yeah. And talk about, there's some old Topher Grace movie. I can't remember what it was. It had Scarlett Johansson, and there's this hilarious speech about synergy. Oh, man.
Is
Mary,
it called In Good Company? I feel like I've seen this movie.
In Good Company. Yeah. That's what it was. And Topher Grace gives this ridiculous speech about synergy, like ABC, Disney, ESPN, NBA, all there together. It's just the perfect opportunity for corporate synergy. And in my household, as I have a four-year-old, I subscribe to all things Disney, and I am all about this just from a synergistic point of view. It's going to be, I think it, maybe it really is just me being very confused, just like missing live sports. I've like worked through most of our TV background, but like this is something that I was first annoyed by, but over the last, 5-6 days, I've slowly gotten pretty excited about the prospect. What about you?
No, I'm super jazzed. And I actually think that I watched a little bit of that golf thing this weekend. And the way they handled it was kind of incredible, in part because Charles Barkley was there and doing Charles Barkley stuff. But there are ways to make this more entertaining than one with an audience. Like I totally believe that you could recruit Jay-Z to DJ in the background during game 4 or something. It's very doable to do this in a really entertaining way that doesn't pipe in crowd noise that's fake. That sounds nuts to me. Did you hear about that suggestion that they're going to pipe in fake crowd noise? Because I think that's kind of insane.
I mean, I think the argument could be made that most NBA games are filled with piped in fake crowd noise.
True. It's a very good point. That's the old WWF trick. They used to do that when they were dead crowds. They would just pipe it in all day long. But that's the thing is, I think there are things that we might learn from this that can be used later on, whether that is like in-game DJs or like turning up the mics in the court and putting on like a 30-second delay or something. I think there are ways to innovate in this time that are really cool and interesting. Like, what do you think they should do in the background? What do you think they should do to make it feel less sort of like dead and open?
I'm not sure they need to do anything. I think where they're going to run into problems is some of the built-in dead time zones, like the TV timeouts and things where players are walking off the court and you're just used to hearing the, the piano and just kind of the background noise and stuff like that. That's going to be a little odd. They, if they're playing a ton of these games in a short period of time, they're going to have to find a way to speed up the game as is, which is going to be frustrating, I think, for some NBA teams. But other than that, I either quicker cuts to commercial, which I don't think anyone would hate from an advertising point of view, or find a way to sort of speed up aspects of the game, I guess. That would be kind of my two thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think like there would just be generally less dawdling, less like 30 seconds between free throws sort of things. I think that will just inherently speed up the pace of the game a little bit. And that could just be good. But that's something that they've wanted for a long time now. So I don't think this is a loss. I think that, people who assume that this is going to be weird and bad and that the level of play is going to be lower and that like this isn't going to count in the same way, I think generally talent wins out. It'll shake out that way. And hopefully we'll be able to hear the game a little bit more. Like, do you know how cool it would be if we can hear them call out plays and then go over game tape and be like, oh, they called that, thumb down means floppy or something. Like, we can actually go back and learn what these are and not just deduce it from like pouring over game tape over time. Like, we can be students of the game in a much different way if this is, presented in a much more naked way, which inherently it will be. So I'm so looking forward to that. I think that'll be the coolest thing there is.
Luca cursing in Spanish. Really looking forward to that. There's some stuff there.
Yeah, apparently when he curses in Spanish, it's like the worst shit you can say. So I can't wait to hear what it is.
See, and they're gonna, that sort of stuff is where I'm really, that's kind of the dark, silly stuff that I'm looking forward to as we get back into this. Well, I've taken up too much of your time on a what day is it? Apparently it's Wednesday.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sure. Do you have any other boiling takes? You know, we talk at least a couple times a week, I think. We have some stuff that I think I would like to wait until the off season to kind of ping through with you, just whenever we're really kind of, I almost said when we were starving for content, which we're not at the moment, but it's stuff that I think would be better served for whenever there's not, you know, news coming up. Ooh, breaking news coming over the wire. Jason Terry accepts assistant coaching job at Arizona. That's interesting. Good for him.
Okay.
But yeah, do you have any burning hot takes?
I'll just throw out a couple and we won't talk about them. We'll just throw them out. I think we just talked about this, but I think the Mavericks will trade their pick this year because it makes a lot of sense for them to use an asset in the future, and the draft sucks. And also, we can't even figure out who's good because the combine is probably not going to exist. So that's one thing. Two, all these people making most entertaining teams of the last 20 years list. If you don't pick Roddy Bobois first, you're not an actual Mavericks fan. I don't know who you are. You're an insane person who shouldn't be a hot take machine for Dallas Mavericks fans, which is what I am. So those are the two things that I have. Roddy Bobois fan stuff and trade the pick. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing. I do have, well, you know what? Not true. I have one thing. So I have a bone to pick with terrifying Dallas Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle. That man is so terse and rude during press conferences. And then you get him on a podcast where he must be in a good mood. And I'm not sure if you've listened to this, so I'm going to recommend. I'm recommending to everybody out there. It's the Hoops Adjacent Pod with David Aldridge and Wass. I'm not going to try to say Wass's name. I'll butcher it. But Carl, I ended up typing out what a lot of Carlisle's answers, transcribing. That's the word I was looking for. He is a chatty man when he's in the right mood. I mean, In 11 minutes, I wrote down 3 pages single spaced from him. Okay, that's how much he talked. It was incredible. So. I don't know.
No, that's really – look, I would not have taken him because, right, we always see him at his grumpiest. And it's very, very short.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to listen to this. You've added it to my list, Kirk. This is happening.
I'm here to help. You know, you can go seek out Luka content to be mad about, and now you can look into this.
Perfect.
Well, Ben, as always, a delight. Thank you for coming on. I think we should talk again probably. Everybody, you know, one last jab at the NBA before I get out of here. People that want to move the NBA calendar to be from December to August are monsters. I do not like you. We are not friends. It is not okay to be. I like summer. Players like summer. I like – my wife will probably tell me I need to stop doing this if basketball is over. Anyways, but I think we should – if the way this is going the way it's going to happen, the Mavericks will make it to the playoffs. If there's steaming hot playoff takes, I want you on. If not, we'll have to wait until the off season, which is probably going to be October-y, and then we can figure out what's next. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I think we'll have a lot to talk about in about a month, so let's plan on it.
All right. Well, you have a good afternoon, good day, good week, guys. This has been Kirk Henderson and Ben Collins with Kirk Your Enthusiasm, episode 25. Thanks for hanging out.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at LittletonCoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at LittletonCoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.